The Around the NFL Podcast. Dropped out of the School of Hard Knocks.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
How exciting. Today's podcast, sponsored, of course, by Hyundai. Driven. Jesus. Ooh. Not sponsored. Driven by Hyundai. Are the suits coming for me, Sid?
You caught yourself just in time.
Yeah. Okay, good. This is a special show. There's some unfinished business, put it that way, that we're going to tend to on today's show. And I don't know if the resolution is going to be positive or negative, I'm just come out and say it. We're not going to have one car brother in today. We're going to have both car brothers. David in studio, Derek via satellite/Skype. And we're going to work out this situation, Greg, which is both of us being blocked. And we're going to see what happens. Listen. And Mark,
if you're the third brother, Hector, you got to be a little
Hector
Carr,
feeling
little
just a little left out.
He's banged in a big spot. In fact, he's probably blocked us as well after he hears this podcast. Mark, you said before the show that you felt that this would be a potential grovel scenario. I don't plan on groveling. I think it's going to be a real conversation.
Well, no, you said that you don't plan on groveling, and I said any further. I mean, we've wrangled these guys in studio to essentially unblock you. I think that from where you take it from here is how you'll be judged.
Well, it's all about how you perceive it. I'm not having Derek on the show to unblock us. I'm having Derek on the show. We got to talk.
I like that.
We have to talk. That's all.
It's a peace accord, potentially.
Man to man.
It's detente.
I can only speak for myself. Greg, maybe we'll grovel. I don't know.
I will definitely not grovel.
I don't know.
You know, I felt... I feel like if he wanted to block us, he should be allowed to block us in peace. That was my initial.
I mean, Greg has seemed more at peace with this entire thing.
It stands because that's how I don't want if I chose to block someone or Wes, you know, block someone. You got to take your block. I am curious certainly to find out what we did, and I have my theory on it. So I'll try to throw that out to Derek and see if it's right.
I think for me, maybe what has stuck with me is if you're going to take a block, you're going to take a block. But I'd like to know why.
I mean, I didn't even follow him on Twitter. So it's
same
like,
here. It was stunning, truly stunning. And I knew he didn't follow me either before the block.
I think there's at least, you know, the old 55% chance here that he doesn't know why he blocked you. And you're not going to be
possible.
Satisfied.
I feel like it's 95-5 there, but we'll see.
95. Now that's a new one too, 95-5. You hear 80-20 a lot, sometimes 90-10.
99.
That's
sometimes.
Strong.
99 you hear a lot. 95-5.
I'm bringing 45-55 back like you brought Dean Scream.
I respect it. I like 45-55.
Yeah.
It's because 60-40 is a little heavy-handed.
Right. At 50, not everything's even.
Right. Or you could say everything is 50-50. You could look at it, you know, both ways.
It's one way to look at it.
51.5, 48.5.
It's going to be harder to catch on.
Is that 100?
Yes, it is.
Is it? 51, 48.
Wait, I thought that was a – this is a bit.
No, this is real.
51.5.
I thought it would be 50.
48 and 51 would be 99, and then you got two halves, which equal 1, 99 plus 1, 100.
Yeah, famously you scored a few points less than 41.5
on
the state-mandated math test.
A 39 on a state-mandated math test in the state of New York back in the mid-90s. Anyway, so, yes, a little later in the show we'll have the Carr brothers on and
it's exciting.
Talk. We're going to talk. Nothing else can be promised. We will also welcome into the studio, this is exciting, Lance Zierlein, one of the NFL Network, NFL.com draft gurus, draft now 8 days away. So Lance will come in and we'll chat with him about, you know, something now that we're all kind of plugging into it, things that we're curious about, you know, in terms of draft storylines. That's fun. If you're going to talk draft, it's good to have Zierlein because the guy does the work. He puts in the work. So we're going to do that.
Unlike someone else, you're saying? Or
I'm sure. I don't know. I don't know that industry too well. I'm sure there are people that are well known or well regarded that actually don't put in the work and they kind of get away with it.
Lance, do they have an in-house podcast?
I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
I just, no comment. That's a hard no comment. And we'll also do some news. So that's today's show. By the way, Sid, how are you?
I'm great. Excited.
Are you excited about this?
Yeah, I'm buzzing. I think it's going to be, well, it could go anyway, really.
Sid did all of the legwork to make this happen with the cars. Let's, before we, you know, hand out the lollipops, let's make sure it all works out. But Sid.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have to record this whole section of the podcast when it all goes down in flames.
Yeah. Well, let's stay positive for now. Let's do some news.
Leave Tom Brady alone. Leave him alone. He's a great guy.
We'll get to that. But we have a lot of Patriots news to get to. And the first bit of Patriot news is as grim as it gets. I mean, you want to talk about your tragedies. Aaron Hernandez, whose entire life has turned into a tragedy as he went from multimillionaire football player to wannabe a gangbanger and got convicted of murder a couple of years back. Just recently acquitted of a double murder, but still was facing life in prison without parole. His life is now over. He died the early Wednesday morning after hanging himself in a prison cell in Massachusetts. Prison officials confirmed 27 years old, found in his cell this coming. He was transported to the hospital but pronounced dead an hour later. He had been in a single cell unit in the general population of the maximum security state prison where he had been confined since being convicted of the murder of Odin Lloyd. And now Aaron Hernandez is gone. And Mark, we'll start with you on this. I mean, it was one of the most outrageous stories in the history of the NFL. And for it to end this way, it's just like the closing the book on one of the darkest chapters in NFL history.
Yeah, I mean, first thought when I saw it this morning before coming to work was it's simply the grimmest final chapter to one of the most severe kind of fall from grace, if you want to call it that, for an athlete. He was at the height, and he had a chance to go so much higher with this team as a very talented, unusual NFL player, and the personal demons, the life outside and off the field, completely dissembled and took it away. I mean, it's one of the worst stories that we've encountered in the NFL ever in our lifetime.
The worst, right?
I mean,
how do you beat that?
There are a lot of bad ones. This one is pretty unprecedented.
There's been some grim ones. Ray Carruth, I mean, it wasn't a player that was known as well and everything. There's been some grim ones. You know, when I saw this, maybe it's just like hitting out or whatever, but I immediately was getting annoyed with the well, my take on this is, it's like you don't need to have a take on a guy committing suicide, like a murderer committing suicide. Like, you can just not say anything.
People had takes?
I mean, just like, I don't know. There's some, you know, celebratory, you know, something. There's others. There's people telling you how to feel. It's just like the guy killed himself. You don't need to say anything.
Yeah, I had a lot of time to reflect on this, and it's a natural event to reflect upon because I woke up at 3:30 in the morning and right when it was all going down. And Bill Belichick said last week in that word association game, he used the word tragedy just as Dan did in introducing the news, and I got to thinking, why is it a tragedy? Everybody he came into contact with loses in his life. His fiance, who is devoted to him and loyal, loses. He commits suicide. His daughter, who shows up in court, loses. His brother, who has basically had identity theft, loses. Patriots fans lose. The NFL loses. The guys he murdered, Odin Lloyd, loses. The relationship between Odin Lloyd's sister and or Odin Lloyd's fiance and Aaron Hernandez's fiance lose. The two guys who got murdered, the immigrants from Cape Verde. Everybody loses who comes into contact with this guy because he's a broken man. He was broken when his father died, and he never came to grips with it. He earned a $40 million contract, had a mansion, a beautiful fiance. He died alone in a 7x10 box as the ultimate concession that his life was a failure.
I mean, this stuff is – you almost can get caught up in that, how grim and cinematic it is. Fox 25 News in Boston just wrote how he cut his finger and he wrote on his forehead in blood, John 3:16, and the Bible was open to that verse.
Oh my God.
Underneath him. I mean, if you wrote this story, you would never – if someone made this a movie, no one would ever believe this. Dan Wetzel wrote a piece this morning for Yahoo, which I recommend everyone check out. Just kind of a – he was there at the trial throughout the last couple weeks. He was just found not guilty, as you mentioned, Dan. And it was an incredible piece of writing and – sounded like he knew how alone he was in the world at this point, that no family, just about even his fiance and daughter, no one really was showing up there day to day. He was all on his own.
I'll read the last paragraph from the column, because it is, if you read one thing on this, it should be the Wetzel column. Soon it ended for Aaron Hernandez, the tragic star of the NFL, who had it all and chose evil, who was given everything but delivered misery, a monster in the middle of the night dangling from a prison bedsheet. I mean,
there was one new piece of information which I got from Albert Breer's column today. In February of 2013, around the combine, a couple of months before all of this went down, Aaron Hernandez asked Bill Belichick for a trade because the heat was so strong in Connecticut. He had shot that guy, Alexander Bradley, in the eye. His life was on the line. He asked Belichick for a trade, and Belichick's like, no, I can't do that, but we can try to do a few other things. Like, Belichick knew that something was going on with him.
And it is, you know, ironic that on the day that Hernandez kills himself, the Patriots are at the White House and they're celebrating their latest Super Bowl conquest. And it's kind of a weird thing to seg into, but it does add to just how wild the whole situation is. Well, Hernandez is dying. You have then the viral stories of Gronk invading Sean Spicer's press conference with a goofy smile and asking this overmatched press secretary if he needed any help, and then the Patriots, who, by the way, 34 Patriots attended this event and 34 passed on it. So people were, and Tom Brady bailed at the last second, citing a family.
50-50, Wes, still in play.
Oh, yeah.
citing some family responsibilities.
Said he was attending the anniversary.
Which, by the way.
Or his mom was in town in Boston, and they were celebrating the 48th anniversary.
This Tom Brady, who got himself in some trouble by having the Keep America Great or Make America Great Again hat in his locker, and then got building heat about his Trump alliance. It's a little coincidental that the day of the event, where there could be no ramp up in terms of scrutiny, he says, oh, by the way, I have something to do with my family. I'm not going to this. Tommy didn't want to be anywhere near Donald Trump, who never brought up Tom Brady's name once.
That part of it
tells you a lot.
That part of it, because I think we were all debating whether Tom Brady's decision not to go had anything to do with Trump, or maybe it didn't. And when
I don't think he made up their anniversary date.
I would just say that when Trump doesn't mention
it's not an excuse.
The greatest quarterback on earth and the author of the greatest comeback we've seen in the NFL once during the entire White House visit, it tells you a lot about Trump and maybe what's gone down with all these guys.
Let's hear what Mr. Trump had to say.
And then the coach said, let's go for three. He's losing by so much. He said, let's go for three. And I say, what is he doing? That was a great decision, coach. I tell him that all the time.
I think Trump, I believe, is referring to the Super Bowl when the Pats were down
28-9,
the decision to kick the field goal instead of going for it, which turned out to be absolutely the right decision given how things turned out. But, so the half the Patriots, it still cost me sandwiches, but it does – I at least can – I feel good knowing that there was some fire to the smoke in my general –
I almost think you should cost you half a sandwich we never pay these things out anyway, so who cares how many sandwiches.
We're going to start, though.
Well, all right, we'll start
fresh on that.
But you were absolutely right in the fact that this visit would be so markedly different than any other of these what seem a million years ago traditional White House visits where the entire team and all the staff show up.
Wait, but that's That's
not
just
much
a narrative. It's not different.
Carry the water.
I'm disappointed. I wish you won the bet and that more people didn't show up. And I appreciated Chris Long and Devin McCourty and Alan Branch, who explained why they didn't show up. I would have been thrilled if five people showed up. But forcing a narrative when the facts don't support it is silly. In 2004, they had 35 people show up. In 2005, they had 25 people show up. 2 years ago, they had 50. So it was much different than that. But I think, made any reason in 2004, 2005 when they had 25 people. The reason people didn't go the second year, because a lot of them had already done it before, which is true of this thing. I mean, the reality is, who knows?
I would say in this case, though, the absence is
literally the exact same amount of people.
I'm very surprised you're taking this tack, by the way.
I'm annoyed. I wish they didn't. I wish they had made a statement.
This is the first time Greg's taken ownership of his team, of his uneasiness with his team.
Oh, well.
His team being in bed with Donald Trump.
Well, let's be honest. It's a terrible day for the Patriots. The fact that Aaron Hernandez, the guy who is synonymous, really, when he came in with Rob Gronkowski, you know, those two guys put up 2,200 yards together when they're, you know, 22 years old, that he committed suicide on the same day that Robert Kraft is going on and on comparing the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history with the toughness and the unlikeliness of Donald Trump winning the presidency. I mean, he went on about that for a minute, and I'm sure a lot of people are watching that are like, oh, my God, my skin is crawling right now.
I have a major distaste in my mouth that more than two or three people showed up to this thing. I have been pretty supportive of the Patriots because I respect their outfit, but it's hard for me to reconcile those feelings because I don't know. Alan Branch had really good reasons, and like you said, Chris Long and Devin McCourty, I wish a few more of these guys would have known those and appreciated those reasons why not to support Donald Trump.
There is more Patriots news to get to, so let's go to it. Malcolm Butler has signed his one-year tender from the Patriots. That carries a salary of $3.91 million for the 2017 season. Wes, he was holding out hope that he'd get paid, considering he is a Super Bowl hero, considering he is a top cornerback, but it looks like he's taking on a different strategy now.
Yeah, he realized that big payday wasn't coming, and it's kind of tricky for him because he's older than a lot of players are when they're one year away from their first chance at free agency. He's going to be 28 when he reaches the market, or 27. He came into the league as a 24-year-old undrafted free agent, which puts him in a bind. So you don't blame him for trying to get paid, but no one was willing to give up a first-round pick and a big contract to do it.
Greg, do you think he's on the team week one? I know you thought he would be. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, the signing doesn't change anything.
Well, now they can't.
I feel like
him.
It's about 55-45. I mean,
there it is again. Is that on purpose?
A lot of agendas.
Yes, of course it's on purpose.
I don't know. It might be just gaining within all of our subconscious.
It's a natural number to use.
It's a nice quality number on both ends.
It makes sense in my mind for them to keep him. So that's why I think they will.
In other news, Super Bowl hero James White has signed a 3-year contract extension. Rap Sheet reported today the contract worth $12 million includes $4.69 million guaranteed. Also in running back news, the Patriots extended a 2-year, $6.4 million offer sheet to Bills running back Mike Gillisley. Rap Sheet also reported that. That includes $4 million in the first year. Mark, this is a Patriots team that already has Deion Lewis, and they brought in Rex Burkhead, and they're probably losing LeGarrette Blount. But I guess this closes the door on LeGarrette Blount?
I mean, it closes the door on needing LeGarrette Blount the same way that you did a month ago. And I kind of love what they're doing. They're sealing up position groups with a lot of competition for a team that, if you don't decide to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, and it sounds like they won't at this point, you don't have a lot of draft picks. You're not going to be able to mine the market for one of the top running backs and shore that up. So this is what you did to the – I understand that people, the Bills fans, get frustrated with linking this to what happened last year when they took Chris Hogan away from the Bills. But in my mind, it's very similar. You're self-scouting inside your own division, taking a talented player away in this running back straight from Buffalo. And Buffalo, it's at a price where Buffalo won't match it. They won't deal with it. And if this works out for the Patriots, and I fully expect it to, Bills fans are back in the deepest hell once again.
I mean, Are you crazy about this?
I am, because Chris Hogan, you could
annoying.
Chris Hogan a year ago was you could have the argument, well, Chris Hogan was not someone that blew up with the Bills. You saw a little bit of promise.
We've already seen today Bills fans trying to talk themselves into Chris Hogan didn't have that good of a year for the Patriots. Whatever.
Right.
He was on a Super Bowl team.
He had 180 yards and two touchdowns
right.
in the
AFC
Championship.
He led the league in yards per reception.
You couldn't have asked him to do more.
He had 330 yards in the playoffs.
Patriots identified a player who was underutilized and underappreciated in your scheme with your coaches and got the most out of him. And they think they can do that with Mike Gillisley. And even though James White and Mike Gillisley have the same title running back, they don't play the same position.
No.
Mike Gillisley runs the ball. James White catches the ball. In today's NFL, those are different positions.
He's a younger – he's not similar to Blunt, but he's essentially going to be in a role where he's doing between the tackles. And I don't think he's going to get 300 carries, but he did pop off the screen last year. We talked about Gillisley on this podcast. He had more 20-yard runs. I saw – he had 7 20-yard runs, which is among the top 10 in the league. It's more than David Johnson. It's more than Le'Veon Bell in 100 carries. Now, you can't expect that to happen over and over, but he showed some serious juice on that team, and he'll be a good role player.
This comes with caveats, offensive lines,
sure,
small sample sizes, but Gillisley and Rex Burkhead were number 1 and 2 in Football Outsiders metrics for running backs last year.
And to make salary cap room to hopefully secure Gillisley, Greg, Danny Amendola took his annual haircut.
I mean, I think that's 3 straight years. It might be 4 that he's taken a pay cut every year.
But he might be paid more this year than last year because he was due to get paid. The last year of his contract called for, I believe, $6.4 million, and he never had any chance of seeing that.
Well, he's not going to – unless people get hurt, logically, it's going to be – he's going to take a haircut in terms of targets. He is, number 5 on the depth chart? Trying to do it.
It's all right. He'll come up big in the Super Bowl.
And he, again, a great example. I like what this guy's doing, because too many guys, their egos get in their way and they want to make the most money possible. So they'll go sign else. They'll say, no, I won't take a pay cut. You get cut. You make more money in your next location, but then you're cut a year later because you're with a bad quarterback, and then you sign for the league minimum with the Patriots 2 years later. Just make your money and stay home with the best quarterback ever.
If you go up and down Roto World each day at this time of year, players are taking pay decreases. He's not the only one, but there is it's not just that – and this podcast at this point could be on Patriots.com for all we know, but like it
I don't know if
there
love
is
the
something
Hernandez
a little
stuff.
Bit different about – wanting to stay in New England, have the chance to go to win another Super Bowl, have a chance for everything that comes with that, versus going to, let's say you end up in some third place team in the NFC South and no one ever hears from you again.
Well, it's far from certain that he would get paid any more money by any other team. The Patriots know how to use him, and he's more perfect for Tom Brady than any other quarterback. So I think that's hand in glove there.
They have 6 guys at receiver, assuming Matthew Slater, who's a Pro Bowler, special teamer, makes the team. They have 6 guys that, if Amendola made it, are like locked in. So he might not even be a total lock to make the team.
But injuries can happen.
Yeah,
all that.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, a lot of stuff can happen.
Mark, how come you said pay decrease and not haircut? How come you weren't getting in the haircut buzzword?
My apologies.
No apologies.
I actually like the idea of it being called a haircut much more than a pay decrease, so bad on me.
Mark got a nice haircut recently. I think it looks good.
You went to your little lady in the on Venice Boulevard, didn't you?
Different person every time, so I wouldn't categorize it as a little lady.
You like the ladies with the clippers over there, don't you?
It's mostly female people that cut hair over there, yeah. I like the price.
Yeah.
And I like the whole vibe of the place.
Clip, clip, clip.
Yeah, it's like, give me a break.
Next up, a little Hard Knocks talk. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you could read all about it. On NFL.com, the end-around column of the week is on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being named. They announced it in a press conference today. They are the Hard Knocks team this August on HBO, 5 episodes starting August 8th through September 5th. And to me, a welcome a choice. I think we're all in agreement on that, as the Bucs is a team that's on the rise potentially, whereas last season, where you really there was a sense of dread and a dark cloud hanging over the LA Rams, even as Hard Knocks was ongoing, it just didn't, nothing felt right, not about that season in terms of an entertainment product, not with that team, not with the head coach, and with the Bucks, it's a different vibe. I think it's Greg, this is a good choice. I know you love the Bucks, so you have to be happy about this.
I think it's a perfect choice. You know, Dirk Cotter doesn't get me excited. So you would want a great head coach. But he could be – he still could be quotable. He could be a guy who drops some F-bombs. He could sneak up on you. But Jameis Winston, I think, will be a fun player to watch for the 5 weeks. I think DeSean Jackson is a delight to add to this mix. You possibly have the Doug Martin redemption type
now,
of story going on.
I got a tweet. I don't know if it's accurate, so you guys could fill me in. Is Doug Martin allowed to be at the training camp?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes.
Even though he's suspended, I got some erroneous information on Twitter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the piece I wrote, I had the Jameis Winston show. I think he is basically catnip for the Hard Knocks producers. If they can have a young, charismatic quarterback, it's almost like getting an early round fantasy draft pick where you get David Johnson or somebody like that, and you have that sense of security. At least I got this guy. So
he's a talker.
He's a talker. He's fun. If you watch some of his pep talks to his team, and he's also an imperfect guy, as we know, both his off the field stuff and even recently when he tried to give some advice to the youth of America in that classroom and told girls to know their place in society, it seemed. So it makes him maybe not a perfect man, but a perfect subject for this type of documentary treatment. I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to, guys, you know this, Wes. You know what Daddy's excited about.
Tavas?
Well, Tavas are back. Mike Smith's back in the picture.
Oh, the kicker competition.
Kicker competition.
Oh, yeah.
On premium cable. I cannot tell you how excited when it clicked in my mind yesterday while I was writing this piece that we're going to actually get it boots on the ground viewpoint of this. Think about it. Greg, think about it. You have Nick Folk, who got, as you wrote about recently, $750K guaranteed.
That almost seems like it guarantees he's going to make the team.
Roberto Aguayo, a second-round pick, arguably in danger of becoming one of the worst busts in the last 30 years.
I hate this for him.
Imagine
Aguayo.
The pressure on him.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
He must
because
hate it.
Coming out of what happened last season where all this stuff on camera was such a mess, he's already going to be under the microscope. Now he's on HBO, and if there's any sort of blip on the radar, it's playing out every week in front of all sorts of people that wouldn't even be watching it otherwise. People that love the show because it's great entertainment, and it just puts him right in the pressure cooker even that much more.
So
good television, terrible for the person.
We have – but good for television.
Good for television.
That's great. Jason Light, who pulled the trigger on that decision to draft Aguayo, there is a scenario, Wes, in play where cameras are in his office when he tells Roberto Aguayo, sorry, man, this is not going to work out. We both got banged in a big spot here, and I apologize.
Could make for riveting television. It might be your favorite scene since Chad Johnson was cut.
That was great TV, too. I mean, the circumstances around Johnson's domestic violence incident made it kind of not a great situation, but great television to watch. So a lot of things. Gerald McCoy, even with his kind of surprising comments this week about how he kind of puts a lot of the Bucks' struggles in recent years on himself.
He's a compelling guy.
Man, he could be an interesting guy. His eighth year, never been to the playoffs.
Wes was rolling his eyes a little bit when we were talking up Winston as a camera guy.
Well, look, I have one major reservation about this fit. And Dan's article talked me off the ledge a little bit. But okay. if there is one reservation, it's Jameis Winston. That he's already on the brink of being one of these players who every time he opens his mouth, editors across America make writers write whatever quote it is as if it's important. Once you get on Hard Knocks, that's going to seal it. Like every time Jameis Winston says a word, we got to write about it. He's going to be like Victor Cruz or
yeah, baby,
Cam Newton. Ely will have us writing up everything Jameis Winston says. It's not going to be important at all.
That's Dan's job, though.
Yeah, it's going to be on me. By the way, am I sensing that P.S. is going to be attached to Jameis Winston's name potentially by the end of the summer? Preening Schmo.
I don't know about that. I think Cam Newton is a lot more manufactured and Jameis Winston is genuine.
I will say one other thing because it seems like a great fit in a lot of ways. But we say it's a great fit, but then we acknowledge that Dirk Cotter's a total wild card. Mike Smith's back on HBO. I don't need that in my life. Here's where the challenge lies for me. Last year's Hard Knocks, and I understand that it was not the most compelling group of people they've ever documented, but it was formulaic. It was formulaic to me. Hard Knocks at its heights can be one of the best, and it is the best sports documentary show we've ever seen. But if they fall off and they don't continue to push it and change it and evolve it, it can become something where you can sort of see the episode happening before it happens. And last year with the Rams one, I couldn't finish it. It felt like you knew what was coming with each episode. And part of that was the LA thing. This is a different part of the country, a different focus. It's got a lot. They got a lot of good things to focus on, but you can't just mail it in. You've got to absolutely make it the best thing you've done.
You make a good point, a great point. And I wrote about the same thing. They kind of drove themselves into a cul-de-sac last year where they kind of creatively, it seemed like that the Rams being so dreary put the entire production into a bit of a rut. And it did feel from the L.A. vistas to, all right, what do we do with William Hayes now? Send him to the Dinosaur Museum. Send some guys to Disneyland. Right. It just seemed like they were checking some boxes. So I think this is an important season, I think, for Hard Knocks in the sense that there are people that are starting to feel that way about the show, that it maybe mixes things up and changes a little bit of what they're doing, and hopefully that happens.
Well, they are reliant on the team's drama and surprises. So if a team is a dud, then they get stuck having to manufacture some things. And I think Rams were uniquely a dud. So there's nothing they can do. On some level, it's a documentary, and they just got to hope that some fun things happen.
Right, because the best stuff is surprising. Exactly. The best stuff is organic. And you want to find, I thought this person was boring because of his press conferences or just who he is. And then you come out with a completely different idea of this assistant coach that you'd never seen before or this player. That's when it shines.
It's always the assistant coach.
Well, they have no mouth. They have no voice typically.
All right. And finally in the news. So that's good. I'm excited about that. Be writing our episode recaps for the fifth straight year on NFL.com.
You're right, Dan, that you will be the one writing all this stuff while – Hard Knocks is on.
Then it will be handed to you, Wes.
My position is that this will transform him going forward as a player we have to write about every time he opens his mouth.
Wes has legitimate career concerns attached to this Hard Knocks.
Editors sometimes have to be better at their jobs is all I'm saying.
Right? Uh-oh. Are you subtweeting people in the office again?
I will say this to any editor's face. Sometimes you have to make the hard decision between being good at your job and begging for clicks.
Are you subtweeting the very person that you were throwing praise on not one episode ago?
Look, David Ely does an excellent job. I would say sometimes you have to check yourself. Anybody at any job has to check themselves and say, am I doing this to the best of my ability?
I'll tell you what. I am so happy that I'm not Chris Wessling's editor. That you can get on this man's radar, and he will be.
You got to be able to take the heat. I learned this.
No one said I was going to be easy, but I'm going to be right. You don't put out crap articles.
It's about me.
All right, here we go. Finally in the news.
Trope alert.
Here we are again.
Trope alert.
In fact, this lady. I like that lady.
She's sexy.
She is. Let's get it out of the way.
One of my favorite tropes is veteran X : I haven't been this healthy in years, Article 8 of the 10 Trope Commandments. And Aaron Rodgers invoked that this week at Packers OTAs. But he also made a reference that's making me think hard whether we need to break out this specific sub-trope into its own commandment. And what I'm talking about is quarterback X quits offseason golfing to better maximize his reps and maximize his preparation for a new season. Aaron Rodgers, who last year dropped us with the trope that he had he was living by the 80-20 rule. Do you remember this?
Should be the 55-45.
Should be. Absolutely. Well, probably, yeah. I mean, that 55-45 sounds like a lot more fun. But 80-20 rule was eat healthy 80% of the time. The other 20, eat whatever you want. He dropped that last year and was motivated and inspired by Tom Brady, in fact. And it caused him to enter camp under 220 pounds. Now he says, I put in a lot of work in this offseason. As much as I love golf, it's kind of taken a backseat to my workouts, and I'm as light as I've ever been coming back at this time of year. How about, Mark, if he maybe gets involved with your Beachbody Fest?
Why not? How about replace Beachbody. Something that is making you a little doughy, if that's what he was saying he was last year, and replacing that with getting into Prime Fitness? Why would you not aim? I don't get any quarterback with an 80-20 rule. I realize he dumped that at some point, but you have the chance. You're already anointed by many as the greatest quarterback. Some feel that way about Aaron Rodgers. What are you doing with an 80-20 rule? You got the chance to be the best quarterback on the planet, and you're talking about 80-20, 20% of the time, I'll eat whatever I want. Get your act together.
And
I mean, I understand the, these.
80-20 is pretty good.
It's pretty good for a writer or someone else, not for the best quarterback on
the planet. Tom Brady's 99-1.
These are the kind of hard truths and real motivation you get when you hire Mark Sessler as your Beachbody coach. I would be fired up. Listen, I'd be like, please.
I am dealing with David Ely on another subject, and it's his Beachbody workouts, and I'm dealing with him on a private IM channel about that.
Is he one of your clients?
He is. He's going to do an excellent job, but you gotta get the fire lit sometimes. He's going to do an excellent job, though.
Ely had no idea it was going to be such a big part of the podcast.
I mean, I get that there's plenty of time in the offseason, and they're young, you know, men. Why tell them what to do with their life? But I'm always a little surprised by just about anyone in the world that has time to go play golf for 5 hours at a time, like multiple days. Like, where do they get this time? Couldn't you? I mean, I used to love golf when I was younger and stuff. That just seems like an insane thing. I'm going to go spend 6 hours doing this.
Well, how about this? Why does anything take six hours? Anything.
It's insanely long.
Well, there's a reason why golf is probably at all-time low levels of popularity, that people just can't wrap their heads around devoting a day to anything anymore.
Also, it's just not that fun.
Many would disagree. I don't like golf, but I can understand. I know a lot of people that do.
I loved playing it when I was younger. It just seems like a crazy thing to do.
Give me a par three.
As a grown-up.
9 holes, par three. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Give me some beer, and away we go.
Take the beer part.
I'll be your caddy while you golf.
One last – that'd be fun. We could just drink beer together.
Yeah.
Walk on the grass.
I'll also be your caddy. You can have two caddies.
Double up the caddies.
I'll play.
All right. Here we go. Oh, we'll play.
You could be Greg's caddy.
I'll be Greg's caddy. But I'm going to come with a lot of advice, Greg.
I'm going to come with a lot of beer, Dan.
All right. Perfect. And one last thing before we move on to Lance. I want to address something that popped up a lot on social media after our Monday show. People said, you're from a coal town. And you don't know what anthracite is, which is a form or a kind of coal, apparently. And I have something to say about that. Where I'm from, coal was coal. It gave us life, and it took it away. It kept the lights turned on, and my daddy coughing all through the night. Coal, man. The anthracite technicians, they could be found on the other side of the river. Behind the big houses and the fancy Cadillacs. Nah, I don't know anthracite. I know coal. I am coal.
Really sold it with the faux Neil Young in the background.
I was going for Springsteen. I wanted to use the river, but we have these arcane, horrific rights issues.
Or you know, like anyone listening could just magically use Google to find out your town produces no coal, just like you used Google to find out what anthracite is.
Oh, I was going to say, just like the people who tweeted you used Google to find out what the anthracite was.
Yeah.
I think you put the issue to bed, Dan. Everyone now accepts the fact that you're the son of a coal man from a coal town. There's no issues there at all.
And Greg, again, not a good look. The man that couldn't even take
I'm not going to give up on
the
this
stickers,
one.
The Rite Aid stickers off the Easter candy.
You took some heat about that, I saw.
I did take a lot of heat, and it's silly because I'm embarrassed. I thought that was possible, but I made that up. I looked, which makes it even worse.
I went and looked.
I was talking about the bunny, and I thought maybe I had done that, but I went and looked, and there was no.
Those eggs come inside a plastic pouch that – The pouch
I was talking
itself.
About the special chocolate bunny, kind of like the big one. I thought maybe, but
– you sound like Sean Spicer right now. Stop backpedaling.
Area man disparages self.
True.
All right, let's go. Let's move on.
Spicy.
You perfected your wardrobe, but what about the stuff not everybody gets to see? What is MeUndies? Just seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. MeUndies are designed in L.A. and made from sustainably sourced
micromodal,
a fabric three times softer than cotton. MeUndies softer than soft luggage undies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns, so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style, Wes. Your own personal style.
My underwear style is very basic. Yes. I have a high bar for which underwear I'm going to wear, but just give me a basic color. I don't need designs on it.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to share about this topic?
I will say, we heard that Mark's wife was a big fan of MeUndies. I got some interesting feedback in my own household. The Paramour is a huge fan of the MeUndies.
Yeah, I think it's made for the other people in the house to enjoy as much as the wearer itself.
Well, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, breaking news here. I actually heard from Wes's Paramour, this might be crossing some lines, that if I had not thrown away my MeUndies yet, save them for her.
Hello, Dolly.
She wants to wear them.
I assume, because, you know, there's no way Wes and I would be, you know, different waist size here.
She informed me that she would like to wear the men's MeUndies.
This has gotten weird.
I get it. And guess what?
What?
You could save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. And if you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/NFL2017, and get 20% off your first pair. So go ahead, revamp your underwear drawer. You know what? You deserve it. Once again, that's MeUndies.com/NFL2017, MeUndies.com/NFL2017. And I will, gentlemen, I am seeking out a statement from the shadowy league figure that operates in the podcast division on why the offer codes are not individualized by show.
I spoke to someone inside the building about that same topic, and the answer was hazy.
And I like the other shows. I was on the NFL Fantasy Live show just today, actually.
Oh, were you?
I like them all.
Humble brag.
And Mark, they worry now that the three of us have been on the show and you have not been on the show yet, that it could cause some issues, that there might be some radar issues.
I would put cause into the past tense, caused. It is causing and has caused.
But I like all the fantasy. I like all the podcasts, but this Universal, I'm seeking out a statement and an explanation. Let's move on. All right. Now it's time to welcome into the studio, maybe for the first time ever in studio, but we've had him on a couple times in the last month or so because he is just a bastion of knowledge when it comes to the draft industrial complex. He is, of course, Lance Zierlein, NFL draft analyst for NFL.com, radio host over in Houston, and a man that's on a cocktail of Latrell and hydrochlorothiazide, if you plug into his last tweet on Twitter.
Yeah, somebody said, what kind of drugs were you on for your last mock? I said, well, it was Lotrol and hydrochlorothiazide, which is – it's not one of the sexier cocktails. And coming from Houston, you got the lean, you know, with the
– sure.
But which I do not endorse or condone, obviously. I was like, yeah, it's not really sexy, but I have some blood pressure cocktail that I'm working on right now.
It's effective.
It's good.
Yeah, I don't know if that caused me to have Marlon Humphrey to the Eagles or not, per se. I think that's what made this particular gentleman angry.
Well, this is, I mean, now we are 8 days out from the draft, and I got to imagine, Lance, even though you have a full-time radio gig also, this is light at the end of the tunnel for you, right? You're dreaming of living on the beach, and you got a big vacation planned, I'm sure. Something
you actually are very right. So if people actually knew what goes into this, I really start during the fall, but I can't really get started until I get my tape, which is in October, and then a lot more in November. And so November is fairly busy. December is very busy. January is incredibly hectic, and February is just off the charts. And I have to finish all the Senior Bowl players, Shrine Game players, and Combine participants, which are about 400 total guys, by the Combine. So it's a race basically from November until the end of February to get 400 players done. And that's watching tape on all of them. It's studying them. It's coming up with NFL comparisons for some of them. Strengths, weaknesses, draft grade, the overall bottom line, as we call it, the draft profile. So it is, I mean, you know, it's 70-hour work weeks between that and radio. And radio is 3 hours a day, so it's way more that's put into the
right.
draft from a manpower standpoint. So, you know, it's there for a while. It'll go 60 to 75 hours a week for about a 6-week period. And it gets to be a grind.
You know, West, your desert consigliere, Spice Rack, who considers himself something of an expert in this realm, is he putting in those type of hours?
No, and I think I don't even think he would claim to be an expert.
Oh, okay.
He's certainly not on Lance's level. Spice Rack just watches the teams he likes to watch, and he generally has pretty good instincts on which players are good, but he's not grinding the tape.
But it's not impossible. Like, some people just have an eye for what to look for. Look, if you know
totally
what an NFL
agree.
Starter looks like, now the specifics of what to look for, yeah, you have to be taught on that. But you can look and see if a guy can play if you know what an NFL starter looks like. If you know what a good NFL starter, an average, and a below average, you can place a guy and say, this guy is going to be an average or above average NFL starter. Now, if they say, okay, what are his weaknesses? Well, you might not be able to break them all down. But, I mean, that's why I think this fuss about it, you have to be some kind of draft guru to know who can play or whatever. No, if you watch a lot of NFL football, you know what it looks like.
Sure. All right.
I would offer one take
here.
The world does not need any more draft gurus.
Should we just lock it down?
Lance has got it covered.
Yeah, we got it covered.
Move the sticks. You know, there's plenty of them.
Twitter is
mostly
lousy.
Lance, though. Mostly Lance. Let's get into it. Let's talk because Lance is such a busy man. They fly him in, and then they have him running around in his fancy designer suits
one
set to another. So right now we got him in his T-shirt. His JKL McConaughey T. So, Mark, why don't you get us going? Throw something at Lance. Let's go. Let's fly.
Wes mentioned before we got on here that this group here, we're starting our draft prep about now. Anyone tells
Speak
you otherwise?
Yourself.
Well, exactly. So anyone else tells you otherwise, they're lying to you. We're digging in, and I'm starting to feel things, not based on watching any tape. I'm just feeling emotions. Longtime suffering Browns fan. Stuff starting to bubble up. And I'm starting to get attached to Patrick Mahomes. I understand that, you know, volatile reactions to him. The guy's got a cannon arm. Other people say mechanics all over the place. It's going to take him years, maybe millennia, eons to become an NFL starter. No one would possibly put him on the field. But then you watch the Gruden thing with him. Gruden loves him. Coach Favre compares him to Favre, says he has rare stuff. What's your take on him? Where could he go? How high could he go?
Mark's fired up.
I am. Well,
he wants Mahomes.
Answer carefully.
To me,
here.
He is exciting. That's what he's exciting.
This is the man that cried on camera when they drafted Johnny Manziel. Maybe not cried.
Was it tears
I have
joy
no
or
credit.
Sorrow.
I have no credibility. Well, when it happens,
unbridled joy.
It wasn't crying.
No, I'm
Mark got emotional. We have it on YouTube. Now he's looking for the quarterback that actually can lead this franchise.
So just very quickly, I was at the 14 draft sitting with the draft with the fans. And when Johnny Manziel was drafted, and that was a big deal. The Texans had the first pick of the draft. I was there covering it for the radio station and for draft purposes. And as soon as Johnny Manziel went, the place was bananas. It was way bigger than the first pick. It was the biggest pick of the whole draft. And Browns fans were up there. And one guy, as soon as he was picked, a lot of Browns fans were excited and clapping. And there was one guy up there who just said, "What have we done? What have we done?" And I've got it on tape. It's
the sensible
great.
One.
And then another guy's like,
"Was that
this
Jimmy
is a
Haslam?
Terrible pick." It wasn't Jimmy Haslam. But so Mahomes, I think Mahomes is a guy that you have to – first of all, he has to prove that he can be the first quarterback outside of Jared Goff still, you know, we've got to find out, that he can be the first air raid quarterback to succeed. One of the things that's a big killer, I talked to a team that just said Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, they are completely lost on running game and protections, calling protections to the offensive line.
Right.
It's like at a zero because they just don't know because they're not asked to do it. So that's – you know, that
can't
really,
they learn that, though?
Yes, it can be learned, but it can't be learned just like that. That is something, not to mention footwork under center, calling plays. In
he
the
has
huddle.
A weird stance under center from what I saw, too.
Yeah, well, because he's probably not done it, because 7-on-7 is so big now. You're already working from shotgun by the time you're 3 years old. Daniel Jeremiah's got his kid at 2 years old working with a throwing specialist.
Well, I mean, he's not preparing his children properly for the future.
I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
So, in all likelihood, I think Mahomes, everyone knows, you know, he's got to be a year away. I think any of those guys coming out of that offense, and really any of the quarterbacks in this draft, are at least a year away, and in some cases, maybe 2 years away.
Is there enough patience in that Browns organization to nurture a quarterback? That's the question.
Absolutely not.
What else we got? Wes, got something for the old Lance bomb?
Let's stick in quarterback. There's one in the news today because John Gruden loves him, and Pittsburgh's quarterback, Nathan Peterman, Lance has been writing about him for a while. You like him.
I saw Kirk Cousins' name. I think maybe you've used Derek Carr's name with him. How good is he, and do we overrate arm strength and athleticism in quarterback prospects?
It's overrated depending on the scheme. So if you put Peterman in a timing-based scheme.
Like Cleveland.
Yeah, like Cleveland. Absolutely. If there's certain teams like Peterman isn't even going to be on the board in all likelihood for a team like Arizona. You know, Arians wants to push the ball. You need to have some arm. That's not where he would fit. You stick him with San Francisco with the 49ers and Shanny's offense, or Rick Dennison in Buffalo, although he didn't have the arm strength to get through the bad weather. But I think in San Francisco, you know, he could be a potential fit. I'd have to find out about what the wind stuff looks like in the new stadium. But he's a guy that played some under center, did the bootleg play action. That's what he did. And he's extremely accurate. The ball placement is really fine. He gets rid of it quickly. He gets rid of it on time. He's not an in-your-face leader, a big alpha type. But I think it's the same thing with Cousins, in that he's not going to be special physically. But when you watch the mechanics of being a quarterback, he does that well. And I'm a big fan of his. But, you know, this is where the draft guys take over, where the coaches, and they want size. They want arm strength. There's certain things they want. So I think he could get pushed into the third, maybe even fourth round. But I know Gruden really likes him. I don't know what Gruden said today. But
he said he was the most pro-ready quarterback, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think he is absolutely the most pro-ready. And he's better than Josh Dobbs and Richmond Webb. I'm not even sure. I mean, Davis Webb. I'm not sure where this is coming from. Davis Webb. Up the charts. Josh Dobbs up the charts. Peterman's tape is better than both of those guys.
Hmm. And Cousins was a guy who slipped to the fourth round despite being a very high-profile player in college. One thing I noticed from you, just reading between the lines, Lance, you seem just like a tad – no one wants to say anything bad about Myles Garrett. He's basically, you know, can't-miss prospect. But you seem, you know, reading between the lines, just a little dubious of him as – a monster difference maker, as a guy that you can just say this is a unique talent that you just plug him in, he's going to be a superstar. You seem like, you know, you're not quite convinced of that.
That's an accurate reading. Yeah, my grade on him is very, very high, but it's based on projection over production. There's production grades and then there's projection grades. Projection grades, like Taco Charlton, is higher up for me because of what I think he can become.
And his name.
But that's obviously going to be one of the reasons, yeah. But – So, Myles Garrett, I think his projection, he projects very high. He's fast. He's explosive. He has all the traits you want to see in a pass rusher. I mean, he's got everything. But then when you watch the tape, it's like, I don't understand why he doesn't dominate here. I don't understand why he took the first half off against LSU and then showed up in the second half. That didn't make sense to me when I watched it the other day. And he doesn't use his hands great. But, I mean, I love the potential. I think he's got the potential to be a transcendent player and another Julius Peppers. The problem is there's some Jadeveon Clowney floor going on there also, where it's high ceiling, but there's a little bit more floor than people probably want to admit to. Now, I don't think there's any doubt he should be the first pick of the draft.
Okay, so you wouldn't.
But there is some – no. So if your follow-up was who would – is no one else that really, to me, would fit that. But I do think there's a chance that he's not the best defensive lineman to come out of this draft in 5 years. We may not say he's the best. I think it could be Solomon Thomas.
Craig, nice job reading between the lines, though.
That's what I try to do.
That was impressive. You know, you brought up Taco Charlton, and I want to, as a fatalistic Jets fan, they're picking six, of course, and you look at the top 10. Who do you use like the biggest boom or bust guy? Because I think Charlton might fall in that category. Some people can't seem to put a peg on whether he's a guy that will be a stud or could go the other way entirely. Who are the guys that teams are privately afraid of making a big-time investment in?
Taco's one. Yeah, Taco's one. He's not going to go in the top 10. I have him 9 at the Bengals because that's the kind of guy they usually draft. I don't think he'll actually end up being that guy, but Taco's a boomer bust guy. Dalvin Cook is a boomer bust guy. The concern is when he gets more money and more time on his hands, how is he going? Is he going to be a pro, or are some of the influences off the field on him going to be, you know, an issue? He would be one of them as well. Mitchell is boom or bust. Obviously, Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Kizer, I think, both fall under that category. Garrett Bowles, the tackle from and Cam Robinson, really, frankly, from Alabama and from Utah, they both fall under the boom or bust moniker. And I would say there's a little bit of concern about Reuben Foster from Alabama. The play is great, but there's some concern about physically how he holds up, and I think that might lead him to be boom or bust. Not because
of – say that with Alabama defensive players every year.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, hey, there's a lot of surgeries going on after they graduate. I mean, that's not an opinion. It's just a fact. Mm. And I think he's one of the guys, I believe, who had one as well. So I think that is a concern that medically, you know, can he hold up? I don't think his play is boom or bust. I just think that's one where you want to make sure he's, you know, able to be at 100% as long as possible.
All right, I need one. Mm-hmm. No, we got listeners all over the world. A very popular podcast.
I hear, yeah. Wow. I heard. As a matter of fact, can I tell you this?
Yes.
I went to dinner last night with a friend of mine who's an actor named Eric Layden. He's lives here, a USC guy, who he's been in some, like, he's that guy, if you saw his face, pull him up on
IMDb.
Yeah, he's that guy. You say, wait, I've seen that guy. Do any of you watch The Killing?
I stayed away from that show after season one.
Okay, then that would be enough.
I live it.
Yeah.
Okay. He was in... like, he plays roles in...
Oh, yeah, I know him.
He was in The Brink with Jack Black. He was one of the fighter pilots. He's been in a lot of really... like, you look at him like, wow, American Sniper, Big Love, The Killing. He's been in a lot of great stuff.
He played J. Edgar Hoover in Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah.
Got jacked up for whatever.
That's range.
A lot of roles.
Yeah, so you got the neck? Yeah, yeah.
He got jacked up for Annabelle.
So, so we're having dinner. He's a huge sports fan too. So he's from Houston. So we're having dinner last night, and the guy comes up, and he's taking our drink order and food and everything, and then he leaves, and the guy says he's I'll tell you in a second. So he comes back by. He goes, "I'm sorry. Do you mind if I ask? Are you Lance Zierlein?" And I'm like, "Yeah. Why in the world would you know that?" And he said, "I watch NFL Network, and I also have my own podcast. As a matter of fact." Dan Hansis, he's come into public school.
Yes.
Oh, Noel.
Yeah.
Oh, we know.
No, he's a good guy.
Yeah. And he's a big fan of this podcast. And so he's got his own podcast. So I just thought, I said, he's like, I'm also an actor. I'm like, and I'm really into the draft. I said, you happen to come to the right table. Because we got you covered on the acting front. This is Eric Layden, and I'll handle the draft stuff for you. So I was like, is it really that popular? And he said, in fact, and this is a quote, around the league might be the most popular podcast right now of all of the podcasts coming out of NFL Network that originate in the 1 to 3 o'clock range. Pacific.
I mean, that's the type of –
that's
cool.
That
that's was a good. Quote.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, it was a quote.
Yeah, I'll just say that. When I hear that, it's like, we made it, guys.
Yeah.
One Houston restaurant recommendation, and then I know you got to go.
I always go with Underbelly. The chef, it's not fancy dress-up. The chef, Chris Shepherd, was a James Beard Award winner, which is like the Oscars of the food world. And all the – he also opened up a steak place with Whitney Merciless. It's called One Fifth. It's a 5-year lease, and every year they're going to rebrand to a brand new restaurant. They're going to change. The first year it's a steak restaurant, and it's Whitney Merciless is the part owner. Mm. The second year it's going to be Romance Languages, so Spanish, Italian, and French foods. Third year I think is Vietnamese, I believe, or seafood. And so every year there's going to be a brand new theme.
Sounds overly ambitious.
It's very aggressive. It's very aggressive.
All right, Lance Zierlein does great work. Follow him at Lance Zierlein. Is that correct?
Yep.
At Lance Zierlein, and he's all over NFL Network and .com. His latest mock draft is up on NFL.com right now. And now he has to leave us. But thank you very much.
So. All right, boys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Nick.
Lance Zierlein. All right. It was something that was teased on Twitter yesterday. Big fish. We got a big fish, and he is a former number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Now he is a analyst for NFL Network, and by far the most handsome man to be in the studio. Let's be honest,
wow,
David
thanks,
Carr.
Doesn't make that awkward at all. The introduction, totally fine. In your cave of wonders here.
This is our cave of wonders, David, who works on the network side exclusively. You were taken aback a little bit by when you saw the conditions in which we work in.
I don't know that you guys should have to work here. I think that
Rich finally we have an advocate.
Rich has a really nice studio down the street. You guys should just go rent out the space from him, and he should give it to you.
We need you to. Well,
you can be
at least make some windows here. Like knock the wall out, bring some natural light in. You know,
I think you might have a future as an interior designer.
Yes.
You're the champion we've needed for 4 years.
You don't want my help.
So anybody that listens to this podcast knows the drama. that has unfolded, at least in my life. Greg has distanced himself a little bit from it. A quick refresher, Derek Carr, quarterback of the Oakland Raiders and brother of David Carr. Myself, Dan, and Greg were stunned to learn that we were blocked by Derek.
Stunned.
And we didn't know why. And we're like, big supporter of the Raiders this season, love Derek as a player. And from that point, it was starting to eat me up inside.
Yeah, so it's understandable.
So we had just
came over and asked me about it.
So we did this. It was intimidated. You know, big network star. So Lindsay Rhodes, who is an occasional co-host guest on our podcast here, came in a few weeks back, and we said, "Hey, well, you know you're tight with David over on the studio side. Right. Can you put in a word for us to see if maybe David would come on, and maybe Derek can come on, and we could work this out? Let's talk it out." And then I got this voicemail from Lindsay a day later.
Dan, it's Lindsay. I just wanted to let you know that I've done my part to help repair the damage that you and Greg have done to your yet-to-exist relationship with Derek Carr. I spoke to his brother yesterday. I told him that the two of you were prepared to grovel, and he seemed interested in that. He seemed open to intervening on your behalf as well. So I've given him your names. He might pass them along to Derek if he can remember them. So if you notice that you are miraculously unblocked in the next few days, then A, you're welcome, and B, David failed because I told him to do nothing until he could come on the pod, hear out your arguments, make you grovel a little bit, and then involve Derek live on the podcast because I'm all about promoting your content. So you're welcome.
You guys have a good champion there.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
we love Lindsay. Yeah,
that was a good find by you guys. It's
fitting that our champion throws in four or five pot shots while she's doing it.
She took shots at you. Yeah. Barbs. She must barb you. That's good.
Perfect.
So here we go. We want to figure out what we did wrong. And if you could serve as the go-between.
Sure, yeah. I'd like to help. I mean, I'd love to help. You guys seem like great guys.
You have a great relationship with your brother. Right.
I mean, it's obviously come up in conversation at the dinner table often when you guys are
We often talk about blocking people.
Yeah.
Yes, it happens a lot.
And it certainly appears like you and Derek have a great relationship.
For the most part, we get along pretty good.
Very good. So maybe you can help us here.
I would like to help you. I think that having no understanding of what you guys actually put out there, I feel like I'm a little bit in the dark, but that's fine. I'll do this just out of good faith. That you won't say something stupid or inappropriate about the Oakland Raiders or my brother, or probably about his children, which maybe that's what you did because that's.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding. I would.
We would never do something.
You would
like
never
that.
Say that. No, I'm just kidding. He.
Wow.
Yeah, he. I think he'd be fine with it. I think
Greg might do something like that. I would never.
I know. I know you wouldn't, Dan.
All right. Yeah. So why don't we do? Why don't we now? Jeez, let's bring him on, Derek Carr, of the Oakland Raiders. Are you there, Derek?
I'm here. I am here.
Oh, my.
My goodness.
Ask and you shall receive, Dan.
There he is. Derek Carr.
You guys reached out to the right guy, because if anybody but my brother came to me, it would have just remained a big red X.
Hey, Derek, I mean, I know you probably want to ask him, but I'm kind of curious, too. Like, what do you think they said, dude? I'm always curious. You know, I pretty much know if I'm going to block someone. It's like whack-a-mole. You know, you go to Chuck E. Cheese, and they just kind of pop their heads up, and you're like, bonk, and you bop them back down. But what did they? You know what they said? Do you have any idea?
No.
Yeah.
I think you probably had good reason.
No, I'm sure he did.
I definitely didn't do it for no reason.
Yeah, no, it happened. They were probably tagged in the conversation or something.
Exactly. You probably got tagged and thrown into something that you just, you know, caught a right hook in between, you know? the hook wasn't meant for you.
Yeah. I'm of two minds here because, you know, I don't feel like I should grovel like Lindsay said. I feel like on some level I've blocked a lot of people. You should just kind of take your block like a man, move on. Like,
sure.
You know, who? I don't know why I blocked. I did have a theory, though, that I'll throw by you. See if this makes any sense. I was at the Raiders playoff game.
Humble brag.
Which, you know, covering the game, which you were not at. I believe you were watching it from home. And I thought maybe because the Raiders were struggling on that day, the quarterbacks were certainly struggling, maybe – I was being pretty hard on their team. I was wondering why Matt McGloin was not getting put in. A lot of stuff. You know, I was being hard on the team that day. Maybe that tweet comes across your path that day. You're like, forget this clown going after my team during a playoff loss.
Possible.
It's very possible you know, that is the case because those are my brothers. But again, we still have no like real proof of why I did it.
It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be something that just looms for a while over their heads.
I was kind of hoping to find out why.
Yeah.
I think that was the thing I was most excited about, and to restore your hope in humanity that, you know, it was just an accident.
Well, I would think I would be confident enough, and I don't have the money, but you're an NFL quarterback, so maybe you could foot the bill on this. Some type of internet, like forensics type person that could dig through all of the data, and maybe you could find it and then get back to us with a reason what we did wrong.
He's got the time. He's clearly got the time.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to do that.
But I will say this, because it was – I'm not sure why I got blocked either, but I did. I will make the statement. A couple things. I am not – I'm far from a perfect man. In fact, I came very close when I learned after supporting the Raiders. In fact, we do a little exercise on this podcast called The Team of Around the NFL, and I nominated the Raiders in August and pounded the table for them all year. So I was stunned and a little bit angry and hurt. So what I did, I came very close to doing something that I only do when I'm really angry at people, which is declare vengeance against you, Derek Carr. But then you kept on, and this kind of annoyed me, you kept on committing random acts of civic greatness. You kept on these like special moments where you were showing up on the side of the road like a celestial being, and I kept on having to suspend any vengeance, so that actually maybe saved us here, because I didn't act stupidly and I showed a little restraint, and that's maybe kept the door open for a reconciliation.
Absolutely, and with me the door is always open. The door is always open to fix things. We had a certain individual on another network that we will not give them any props for, say something completely idiotic, and I let him know. But to his credit, he came back and said, hey, it wasn't me that did that. It was something else. And so I just said, hey, no worries. God bless you. Have a great one. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go out of my way for him, but the door is always open. But for you guys, it was an accident. You got thrown into something that it wasn't yours, but I do whack-a-mole people, like David said, all the time.
Yeah, well, I know Wes and I over here, we weren't blocked. I'm personally feeling a little left out. Wish you had blocked me.
Maybe you can say something crazy.
I mean, you know, I might have to get into the mix. I wanted to be part of the drama, and you apparently think highly of the two of us, so, you know, we'll sit with that. That's okay.
We've never been blocked on this side of the table.
Yeah, we're doing
never
well.
Been blocked by Derek.
I identify with Derek because I use the whack-a-mole, and I often don't know why I block people when they come back months later. I always figure, hey, you tell me why I blocked you, and then we'll talk about unblocking.
That's a good point.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I agree with that.
All right, but how about this? We propose this. And Derek, you –
You seem relieved that you and Dan are doing better, though.
Yeah, you seem relieved. Weight off the shoulders.
How about I propose this.
It's been heavy on my heart.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'll propose this. What if we just hit the reset button in terms of the Twitter situation? I'll propose that, and Greg and myself, we go into this open eyes on both sides, start over in terms of our relationship.
Not promising that you'll, be better.
Yeah.
But
I think Derek should drive a hard bargain here and make you promise that the Raiders will be team of ATL this year.
There are terms there. Now, I feel like Derek should offer some terms back, right?
I mean that's fine and everything. we can definitely hit the reset button. But you have to mention something nice about the Raiders every time you get on the podcast.
Every time. We do 3 shows a week. We've done over 550 shows.
A lot of shows.
That is 550 plus.
Raiders plugs.
I like it.
Opportunities for greatness.
The man drives a hard bargain.
Even if it's a bad day, you got to pat someone on the back and say something nice just to spread love in the world.
I think we can do that. I would accept those terms.
And that is my main motive, is to just spread love. Yeah,
it wouldn't compromise the show on any level, so it checks out.
Can I counter with one a week?
I think if you just start saying like, hey, it's our podcast, Raiders are cool. I mean, I think that just goes.
So it's like they're replacing our sponsor.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess, but I mean, it's not even that you have to say the Raiders. You can just say something nice about one of my teammates that.
It doesn't even have to be on the field stuff. It could be like, hey, guess what? Random news: Khalil Mack saved a kitten today.
Absolutely,
sneak it in there.
So we could just make things up.
Yeah, completely.
I prefer the truth.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So a truthful. Okay. You want me to? I get it. I get your vibe, Derek. You want me to put positive things out into the world, and if it's about the Raiders, even better.
Yeah, and if it's true, even better than that.
Yeah, it just that 3 times a week it has to be about the Raiders.
Okay.
All right, and who's I can agree to this, and then maybe. Hope there's not the tracking methods. You know, what if I mess up? Who's going to be tracking?
Well, find yourself blocked again.
Well, I think I'm starting to follow the podcast. So, Derek, I can help you. I can help.
All right.
I suspect, an ombudsman right here.
I suspect Raider Nation will be on top of this.
Oh, they will.
Make sure they're like, no, you haven't said anything about Rodney Hudson lately. What's up with Hudson?
That's right.
And all right.
You can say whatever you want, but it just something. It take 2 seconds just to spread love about, you know, some of my friends.
All right. I agree to the terms. I agree to the terms.
All right, then you can consider yourself Dan unblocked. I just did it.
All right. Wow.
Feel better?
Yeah, I feel so good. What about Greg though?
Yeah, well, I gotta type his name in.
Yeah,
this is a longer. There's a lot more.
A lot of G's. Gregg Rosenthal. There we go.
Gregg.
This is. I got butterflies right now.
You gotta spell this one. Spell it for me.
Gregg. Ross. Enthal.
It's got a blue check mark.
At what grade level did you learn how to spell your name? It gets a long one. Did you ever mess it up and only put one G, or did you know early on?
I knew. I had to explain it. Just that closed down the name. No Gregory. Stop calling me Gregory, Mrs. Yeah. McFadden. Enough.
Starens,
harbor some ill will to
Gregory. All right, Derek is typed.
Thank you, Derek.
Greg, it's done.
Wow. Wow. We've done it. Wow. We've broken down the walls, and we've start a fresh start.
I feel good for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Spread love. That's all it's about, man.
Okay.
Derek, yeah. I thank you. And David, I can't say enough about you.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just Lindsay started it. She came to me. And, you know, if she vouches for somebody, I'm in. And then I had to do was make a call to my brother. That's easy.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was a little uncomfortable with the intro for David.
Very fair.
As we all were. Imagine being in the room.
Yeah.
But I would say that if you compliment David, that would count as one of the three a week.
Okay.
We can get that.
Raider through blood. Good.
We're doing good here.
Okay.
But let's just draw the line at, you know, let's not get too crazy with that one.
Well, with the handsome stuff?
With it. Okay.
Okay. I'll cut back on the handsome stuff.
Perfect.
That's sort of Dan's bit.
You guys are awesome, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Derek.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
All right, David, you did it.
And, wow.
We will never forget this, and we owe you a big one.
Well, you know, it's a thing that, you know, I come here, and I do some shows, and you guys are on the same campus, and I can't have – it's like when you have friends that are fighting. You can't have that. So you just got – I was always that kid. I was like, you know what, guys? Let's just go over here and sit on the bench and talk about it. We'll figure it out.
It's the quarterback in you.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So
you're a great clubhouse guy.
Yeah, so that's what we try to do here. So
next stop, the United Nations for you.
Mission accomplished. Need a mission accomplished banner.
All right. All right. You check out Derek Carr. First of all, you can check out Derek Carr on Twitter at Derek Carr QB. David Carr on Twitter.
I think it's David Carr 8, maybe, or D Carr 8. I don't know. I haven't.
There is an 8.
Don't do his Twitter account wrong already, Daniel. No, 8 seconds, you know, fresh on his radar.
Is at D Carr, 2 R's, 8. For David Carr, and David also is on NFL Total Access. I think they put you on other stuff, too. They got you all over
the place. They do. I do a couple of things, but it's fun.
And a good man and a fair man, and we thank you. We'd love to have you again on
talk about actual football
stuff. Yeah, about football another time.
Yeah. All right. No,
there we go. The Carr brothers. How exciting.
What a moment.
Wow.
How do you feel?
David exits the studio, and I feel reborn. I do, and I do. I granted, I like I said, it meant more to me than Greg, but I think Greg feels a little different today as well.
I didn't know there was a weight on my shoulders, but now it's off, and I don't even know how I'm going to focus on being able to do work the rest of the day after that. And
have you learned a little more about the power of forgiveness?
I mean, I think
versus vengeance.
It's
a good point. Spreading love.
It's not to be said, but putting that positive energy out into the world. And I think we saw the difference between two quarterbacks and the four of us.
All right. So that was a lot of fun. I'm sure everybody enjoyed it as much as we did. So let Derek and David know on Twitter about their little appearance today. And we'll be back on Thursday. We're coming right back at you. With our final, possibly our final video show streaming on NFL.com 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. But it will be a show where we break down the release, and this is Wes's favorite show of the year, of the 2017 NFL schedule. Wes, goosebumps for you now.
On the edge of my seat. I'm going to have to try to get through the next 16 to 18 hours without, you know, it's sort of like a Christmas morning moment for me.
Well, you've got a lot of strength of schedule work to do in between, so.
A lot of crunching.
Get on that.
A lot of crunching. All right, that's it. What a good day. I feel like a new man. Dan Hans is signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss, and La Cid behind the glass. Till Thursday!